Donald Trump's abortion solution was to let the states decide. And the very next day, the Arizona Supreme Court reinstated an 1864 law making abortion a felony in almost all cases. When Democrats launched an effort to reinstate abortion rights, Republicans shut it down via procedural means. So here's what that sounded like in the state house.
All in favor of that motion, vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed, vote no. Ayes have it. So ordered.
I'm Audie Cornish, and this is The Assignment. And here with me is Jim Small. He's an Arizona native who's worked as a journalist there for some 20 years. And he's now editor-in-chief at the Arizona Mirror, which is a nonprofit news site. Jim, welcome to The Assignment.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, so people have been hearing about this in the news for the last couple of days, and we just want to take a step back and remind folks how we actually got here. Arizona had a Republican governor, and also its legislature, and what were they trying to do when they kind of created the conditions for this to happen?
Yeah, so in 2022, in the months leading up to the Dobbs decision, Arizona legislators took up a 15-week limit on abortions in the state. Previously had been 20, and so they passed this law, I think, with an eye toward the Supreme Court potentially undermining Roe to some degree.
Right. And people used to call these trigger laws, which is these were abortion laws and restrictions that all around the country, many states had these, that they are set to go into effect in the event that Roe would be overturned.
Correct. And the 15-week law was modeled after the one in Mississippi that was the subject of the Dobbs lawsuit. There's a group that's been profoundly influential in Arizona in anti-abortion policy, and it's called the Center for Arizona Policy. They've been the driving force behind just about every restriction that's been put in place over the last 30 years in Arizona, all of the different things, everything from fetal ultrasound to waiting periods to requirements on doctors and clinics and all of the kind of hoops that women in Arizona have to jump through in order to receive abortion care are largely the brainchild of this, the Center for Arizona Policy. They're very influential at the state capitol. They're very influential among conservative Republican primary voters. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how they wield that power.
But that last part is key, that they were influential among voters as well. Republican primary voters. So they had a constituency.
Absolutely. They are very active. There are a lot of churches that they're active in. They're active in a lot of the evangelical faith community. And they speak directly to voters and they put out guides and they say, vote for this person, don't vote for this person, very explicitly. And they will go to the mat to either support the people that help them at the state capitol or to defeat the ones that they feel have crossed them. And one of their requirements for getting this 15-week restriction put into place was that it needed to have this language in it that essentially said two things. One, approving this doesn't establish a right to abortion in Arizona. And two, it doesn't repeal any other existing laws, and specifically pointing to this ban, this near total ban that was first adopted in 1864, back when Arizona was a territory, 60 years before we became a state.
So I want to get into that, because what you're saying is at the time that Republican lawmakers signed this bill into law, they did it fully cognizant of the fact that this 1864 provision was in place and that the people who asked them to do that did it precisely so we could be in the situation we're in right now.
I think that that is the logical reading of everything, right? Like this language is in here. It referred to the statute, said it explicitly does not repeal this statute. Now, did lawmakers read it? Do they read anything they vote on? Those are fundamental questions. And I think there are some lawmakers, some Republicans right now who are trying to backtrack from this, who, you know, I think you have to ask that question of like, well, did you even know what you were voting on? Because it was clear to everyone else. It was clear to the Center for Arizona Policy. The people who supported this law and who pushed for it and drafted it wanted this ban to be in effect in the event that Roe v. Wade fell. They made no bones about it. And I think now we're seeing a number of Republicans who are trying to grapple with the idea of being ardently pro-life in theory, when Roe v. Wade is there to protect people and to kind of backstop anything that they might do, versus now where that doesn't exist and these very severe, very harsh, very draconian laws can be implemented, and kind of what that means both politically and at a human cost and at a cost for citizens.
And the reason why I'm asking is because the rest of this conversation will be about how they're behaving now. I just wanted to make sure we all had a baseline that, like, there's no trick, there's no gotcha to this. Republicans signed up for it. They got what they want. Everyone got what they wanted. What was the kind of initial reaction?
You know, I think the initial reaction from most Arizonans was somewhere between shock and horror that Arizona suddenly turned into a state where abortion, if not immediately, in the very near future, is going to be virtually entirely illegal.
We started this conversation talking about the Center for Arizona Policy having a lot of sway with primary voters. So there were some voters who, on some level, were interested in this.
There are no doubt voters who are very happy about this. There are elected officials who are very happy about this and are cheering on this ruling and very open about the fact that this is what they envisioned for Arizona. But those views are out of the mainstream within the state. They're out of the mainstream, certainly within voters as a whole. And, you know, we've seen public polling that shows that even Republicans want to leave access to abortion available with limits, and in some cases, maybe some pretty severe limits.
So how fast was the flip from the folks who had voted on this to the folks who are suddenly like, well, let's, you know, pump the brakes here. Like, how is that? Could you give me two or three examples?
Yeah, within an hour, we had one of the top Republicans in the state Senate who, you know, is generally, I think, kind of viewed as a more mainstream Republican. He's not a MAGA Republican, a veteran lawmaker who came out and said, oh boy, this is a bad ruling. We need to undo this. This was not my intent when I voted on this bill, even though he voted for it with all of the language intact.
Anyone else?
He was quickly joined not very long later by another Republican in the state House who said similar things. This is a lawmaker who was not around in 2022, but did work for Governor Ducey at the time when that bill was signed into law. And then he was followed by another state senator whose husband, believe it or not, actually sits on the Arizona Supreme Court and voted to uphold the 1864 law. She's in a relatively competitive legislative district, is facing re-election this year, and came out and said, I'm pro-life, but I don't like this ruling, and we need to fix it. We need to repeal this territorial
ban. By we, did
ban.
She mean she and her partner at the kitchen table, or like, did she? I mean, we're laughing because it's very cynical, but for the person to be married to someone on the court and come out and like be grasping at the pearls.
Yeah, I mean,
silly.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I think the irony on that was not lost on many people. And, you know, she wants legislators to, you know, show up and repeal this law. You know, and the idea here is that if you repeal this 1864 law, what you're left with then is the 15-week ban that lawmakers approved in 2022.
So they feel like there is a solution where they still are supportive of a piece of legislation with abortion restrictions, but doesn't make them kind of a laughingstock and people talking about, you know, Civil War era laws and this seems silly. Like, there is an escape hatch for those Republicans who want abortion restrictions.
There is. And, you know, I think it's a politically difficult thing for any of them to try to do because out of one side of their mouth, they're saying that they're pro-life. And certainly that's been Republican orthodoxy for what, 45 years now. And I think the definition of that has changed and gotten more and more extreme over the last decade in particular, in terms of what kind of exceptions are allowed, what restrictions are viewed as, you know, being suitably pro-life. And now, you know, they're going to have to say that, yes, I'm pro-life, but I want to make it legal to get abortions in Arizona again, which is a really difficult thing to sell to voters, I think.
What's been the reaction from the lobby group you mentioned, the Center for Arizona Policy? Are they like, excuse me, folks, you all signed up for this?
they obviously support the state Supreme Court's decision. They are ecstatic that this ban is going to be in place, and they are fighting tooth and nail to do whatever they can to stop the legislature from repealing that law and from going back to the 15 weeks. They are fully committed to seeing this ban all the way through and to defending it in whatever way they can.
So they're not embarrassing the lawmakers who are flipping?
No, they absolutely are. I mean, they are taking aim at those lawmakers, and I think we're still in kind of the early days in terms of seeing what they're going to do, but I don't think that there's any doubt that they are going to do their best to inflict whatever pain they can, electorally, politically, financially, to punish them.
On the flip side, the group Arizona for Abortion Access said they have enough signatures for a ballot referendum to enshrine the right to an abortion in the state constitution this November, which means this is headed to a vote. And the vote put to Arizona voters will be what?
It will be a constitutional amendment. It would say that Arizonans have a right to access abortion and set the stage for having courts invalidate a lot of the existing restrictions that are in place, all of those restrictions that have been put on the books since Roe v. Wade passed, everything from ultrasounds to waiting periods to, you know, some of the informed consent things that doctors are required to tell their patients, you know, about adoption, about other options instead of abortion. The Abortion Rights Initiative would guarantee access to abortion up to 24 weeks of gestation. It would also allow for abortions to be performed past that for a variety of reasons, physical health of the woman, and even some caveats for some mental health if a doctor recommends that an abortion is necessary to preserve the mental health of the woman. Those are some of the provisions that I think are really irking the pro-life advocates who are trying to frame it as though this will allow abortions up until birth. And they're portraying it as something that would allow widespread late-term abortions.
I don't want to go too far into those arguments just yet. I think I want to understand the state of play. So you basically have Republican lawmakers scrambling to repeal this law from 1864, back when Arizona had a population of about 7,000 women could not vote. And then in terms of abortion rights access, those folks had a ballot referendum. And that now has probably gotten a major boost, right? I mean, you were writing in your article that this decision by this judge is the best possible thing that could have happened to the ballot initiative that would enshrine abortion rights in the state's constitution.
It is. You know, I think that it was, if it qualifies for the ballot, and it appears like it's well on track to do so, I think it was already likely to pass, very likely to pass. I think that this ruling by our state Supreme Court only increases the margin of victory that it's going to have at the ballot. I think ultimately, if voters are faced with a choice of no abortions at all versus rights to abortions, and even if they're maybe a little more permissive than people would like, I think that voters are ultimately, by a very wide margin, are going to side with allowing abortions to happen in Arizona.
I'm speaking with Jim Small, editor-in-chief of the Arizona Mirror. We'll have more after the break.
This podcast is supported by Sleep Number. Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. Only Sleep Number smart beds let you each choose your ideal comfort and support, your Sleep Number setting. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. Temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
Welcome back. We're talking about Arizona politics affecting U.S. politics with Jim Small, editor-in-chief of the Arizona Mirror. People are talking about it now as Arizona is a true proper swing state, like that this issue is going to push it in an unexpected direction. As someone who's reported there for a long time, is that feeling in the air for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd argue that Arizona has been a swing state for the last two election cycles. We saw the state go for Joe Biden in 2020. In 2022, we saw Democrats win up and down the ballot. They captured just about every statewide office that was up for election. And this is only going to continue to push things into a much deeper purple. I think Arizona has long been a Republican stronghold. It's been trending towards swing state for a long time. And this is only going to fuel that fire. And I think that this really puts the wind at the backs of Democrats who are trying to both accomplish things like the constitutional amendment to give a right to abortion in Arizona, as well as their efforts to win congressional seats, win the U.S. Senate seat, and take over the majority in our state legislature.
You're saying that in a very like matter-of-fact way, but it's pretty shocking. I mean, one of the GOP strategists in your story wrote, before today, there was a small chance at least one would flip, right? The House or the state Senate. Now it's likely one chamber will flip and possible both will. And is it because they see a direct line between how the abortion conversation is playing out and voters?
100%.
Or are there other things at play? Do you know what I mean? Like, are people also upset with how, like, election fraud has become, like, this very fraught thing in the state? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, is it backlash to Trump himself? Like, how does abortion fit into that overall conversation?
I think all of that is true. I think that a lot of voters are tired of the election stuff. A lot of voters are tired of the culture war stuff that Republicans have been pushing, the anti-LGBTQ, the book bans, the in some cases, the private school voucher program, things like that.
So these are things in Arizona that have become loud, hot button issues.
Without a doubt they are. But this abortion one, I think the feeling and the fear among Republicans, you know, Republicans who work in the campaign world, is that suddenly all of the good Republican talking points, the things that they wanted to talk about, the border security, the crime, immigration, you know, the economy and inflation, it's going to be impossible to cut through the noise on abortion now.
And you're saying the noise, but by noise, we mean Democrats talking about it and
the furor, the advertising. The outrage.
Yeah.
Yeah. This ruling and the effect of it is going to suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room and really put Republicans on the defensive on an issue that has been proven in states much redder than Arizona to not be good for Republicans.
Listening to what you're saying, now it's really hitting home because Arizona is a border state, right? Like, if you're a Republican, you want to be able to say to Joe Biden, like, you're not taking care of the border. You're not taking care of crime. You're not, like, and instead you have Joe Biden running, you know, new ads in Arizona, the vice president visiting to, like, abortion rights events in Tucson.
So Arizona, this November, up and down the ballot, reproductive freedom is at stake, and you have the power to protect it with your vote. It is your power.
Like, instead of them being kind of maybe nervous about coming to Arizona and what they might face there, they can march right in because they have a new issue to talk about.
They do. And it's an issue that is allows Democrats to go on the offensive. It's one where they, I think, very clearly have the upper hand on the campaign trail. Republicans are going to be on the defensive now. And Democrats had been hoping to try to, you know, really make this election about things like reproductive rights, the areas where they perform better with voters. This Supreme Court ruling brings that front of mind to Arizona voters. And it really gives a very salient a way for them to make that point, and not just as a theoretical point, but to say, look, here is what Arizona looks like, and here is what the reality is on the ground. So if you are going to elect more Republicans, you're going to get more of this.
So where this dovetails with national politics, would be, let's say, the Senate race, because Kyrsten Sinema is not running again. Her Senate seat is open. It's a very tight race to replace her. And ironically, I feel like Sinema suffered. She often talked about being independent, and people also speculated cynically that she wanted to appeal to Republican voters. But now, what does the fight for that seat look like? Like, how does the abortion conversation change that calculation?
Oh, I think it's going to be monumental in how this race plays out. And the main reason for that is that during the 2022 election, when Carrie Lake was running for governor and the lawsuit to bring back this 1864 law began, she full-throatedly defended it and said it was great, and she couldn't wait for that law to be on the books. She called it a terrific law.
Did she mention the 1864 part, or?
Yes. I mean the questions were all about
–
it was part of the package, right? She said, you know, yes, we should absolutely reinstate this ban that would eliminate all but a handful of abortions in Arizona. And now she is – she has, I guess the polite word is pivoted. Maybe run away from that sentiment is a better way to frame it. She doesn't want to talk about that at all. She
meaning,
wants to pretend like she never said any of that.
So meaning reporters are trying to ask and she's not answering, or has she released an affirmative statement saying, I do not support this?
No, she has released statements that said, we need to repeal this ban. This ban is bad. And it is a complete 180 from where she was at just 2 years ago. And, you know, she spoke about it repeatedly 2 years ago. And the bad news for her is that, you know, Democrats have the tapes of her being on TV, being on radio programs talking about this.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books. So it will prohibit abortion in Arizona. And I think we're going to be.
And they are already starting to show up in ads, and they're going to continue, I think, to show up in ads, both from outside Democratic groups and I'm sure at some point from Ruben Gallego, who's her likely Democratic opponent.
Yes, he is a current U.S. congressman, Marine veteran, and he no doubt will be talking about this a lot. In the meantime, Governor Hobbs, who, when she was running, talked a lot about abortion, how is she dealing with this now?
Yeah, her priority at the moment, I think, is, you know, twofold. I think one is to work to try to get this Civil War law repealed. She called on that immediately after the ruling, you know, and is, you know, essentially demanding that lawmakers get to work doing that. And two, I think, is trying to figure out if that doesn't happen and if this does go into effect, what avenues can exist to try to, if not protect reproductive rights in Arizona, to try to help Arizonans access them, even if that means leaving the state, and figuring out, are there ways that the government can do that, or that the government can work with NGOs that are involved in that space to really facilitate help for Arizona women?
Who's the constituency that's upset here? I mean, we tend to talk about this issue exclusively in the kind of dynamic of women and women voters, but what are you actually seeing as you guys are reporting this?
It certainly is something I think that probably touches a little closer to home for women for all the obvious reasons. But I think voters across the spectrum, across a lot of ideologies and age groups and everything, are really upset about this because the reality is that, you know, I mean, anywhere between 65 and 80% of Arizona voters say that they support access to abortion. That is something that invariably is going to mean Republicans. It's going to mean independents. It's going to mean Democrats. It's going to mean men and women. It's going to be old voters and young voters. And I think all of them are, to varying degrees, you know, really unhappy and upset with this Supreme Court ruling. You know, it really does cut against what Arizonans want, what they've said they want at the ballot box in the past, and what I imagine that they're going to say they want at the ballot box in November.
But enough for there to be a backlash against Republicans as a result?
You know, it's the legislature that passed the 15-week restriction and that included this kind of time bomb in it to allow the Civil War law to go into effect. And it's going to be really up to Democrats and their allies to spend money and to get some good messaging to communicate that to voters. You know, there's a really strong sense that a segment of voters that are typically not active will be motivated by this, that they can go out and they can find those infrequent voters, those new voters, those younger voters in particular, and go to them and say, hey, look, this is what is happening. This is why it's important that you vote. We need you to come out and not just vote on the ballot measure to protect abortion rights in Arizona, but we need you to also vote for Democrats in these particular races because they are going to be the ones that are going to be the bulwark and the backstop against any other efforts to undermine this in the future. And that's going to be the 1-2 step that Democrats have to do in order to capitalize on this ruling at the ballot box.
You know, Arizona reminds me of Georgia in that it's a state where its Republican Party, there are real divisions because of the threat of election interference by Donald Trump, that they had this very kind of on-the-ground, visceral experience with it. The attorney general there is still making decisions, right, about filing charges against the former president. And I'm reading that there was a grand jury in Phoenix that's been issuing subpoenas. How has it affected what it means to be a Republican there?
Yeah, you know, I think Republicans here have been through a lot of the same thing that Republicans across the country have, maybe a little bit more intensely because we've been kind of one of the focus points of all the these bogus election fraud claims. But yeah, it's a lot of it's become orthodoxy for Republicans at this point that, you know, yes, the 2020 election was stolen. Yes, the 2022 election was stolen. And the Republicans who don't toe that line are in the minority, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, I think it presents them with a difficult choice. This abortion ruling, I think, is another one that is really kind of a tipping point for what does it mean to be a Republican in Arizona? Does pro-life mean supporting restrictions on abortions, or does pro-life mean supporting no abortions? And at the state capitol, I think it's very largely most Republicans down, you know, that are elected officials right now are election deniers and are very strongly pro-life to the point that they want no abortions in the state.
And when we say deniers, do you mean on the spectrum of perhaps there was some meddling we should investigate, or we don't believe Joe Biden was the president?
A healthy mix of both. I think certainly the former, the fact that, oh, well, the elections have a lot of room. There's a lot of problems with our elections. We need to fix them. And there is definitely a very loud and vocal minority of Republicans that are full-throated believers that the elections were stolen and rigged and that there was massive rampant fraud for which there is no evidence. I think the issue is that Arizona voters, Republican voters, aren't as unified on those things, on you know, the election stuff and on the abortion stuff. And I think that there are more shades of gray among the electorate. But the way our districts are created, the way our primary elections are run, essentially what it means is that a lot of those voters are, because they're in the minority within their party, they don't get a chance to vote for Republicans who maybe believe the same things they do, or maybe are a little bit more moderate. The extremes in both parties, have really come to dominate the primary election system. And that results in a legislature that's very polarized and doesn't allow for a lot of healthy debate and discussion and, you know, maybe meaningful negotiation on ways to try to solve problems, other than, you know, the kind of the binary of, you know, either we do A or we do B, and there's no middle ground to concede anywhere.
Does this feel like a turning point for this swing state?
I think it absolutely feels like that. I think Arizona has been moving purple for, you know, the last 10, 15 years. I think that this is going to thrust the state completely into full on into swing state territory and really put some wind in the sails for the effort to turn it blue.
I mean, I have to admit, I didn't think so at first, right? Like, to me, I think of Arizona and I think of, as you said, like a Republican Party that has become way more conservative, right? A Republican Party that, like, didn't they censure Cindy McCain?
Censured John McCain.
Yeah. I didn't think of it as purple because that stuff was going on.
Yeah. And I mean, you think of Arizona, you think of Barry Goldwater, and you think of Joe Arpaio, and you think of Jan Brewer, and, you know, you think of things like that. And that's true. That's all in our history. But, you know, demographics here have been changing. It's a combination of people moving to Arizona from other states, and the younger generation of voters are predominantly Latino. These are kids who have, you know, in many cases are dreamers or have parents who are undocumented, but they are citizens. They've grown up here. They are coming of age and they've seen what is going on in our state and how these Republican leaders have led the state. And there is a very robust youth outreach program, particularly aimed at those Latino youths. And they predominantly register as Democrat and vote for Democratic candidates. And that is really a driving force behind sort of what is happening with our demographics here and why Republicans, after controlling the state legislature for 60 years, are now staring down the barrel of losing control of at least one and maybe both chambers of the state legislature just 2 years after they lost the governorship for the first time in a generation.
Jim Small is editor-in-chief of the Arizona Mirror. It's a statewide nonprofit news site. It's part of a larger nonprofit, which is called States Newsroom. We're going to have a link to the Mirror in our show notes. You can find Jim's reporting there. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
The Assignment is a production of CNN Audio, and CNN Audio has been nominated for a bunch of Webby Awards. A big congrats to all of my CNN Audio colleagues, Anderson Cooper, Sanjay Gupta, David Rind, and the team behind the podcast Tug of War. The Assignment has also been nominated for two awards, Best Interview Talk Show and Best Host. And I know that it is thanks to you. The Webbies are awarded by public vote, which means I'm going to ask one more thing, that you head over to the website vote.webbyawards.com and cast a vote for us. This episode was produced by Dan Bloom. Our senior producer is Matt Martinez. Dan DeZula is our technical director, and Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of CNN Audio. We got support from Haley Thomas, Alex Manisseri, Robert Mathers, John Dianora, Lenny Steinhardt, James Andrus, Nicole Pesaru, and Lisa Namorow. Thanks as always to Katie Hinman. I'm Audie Cornish. Thank you for listening.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.